D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah, B's and B-boys. Saints. B's and B-boys. I love this podcast. I love this.
Man, I love you too. Welcome in another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the palatial, no, check that, luxurious basement located in my house. With me as usual, well, not as usual because there's nobody with me today, but if it makes you feel any better, we have Chris Landry's going to visit with me in a few minutes. So hang tight. I'm going to see if I can't find a few things to talk about here in the dog days of summer. We're about, 10 days or so away from the rookies reporting to Saints camp and all of this being over, all of this off-season wondering, being curious, is this guy going to make us better? Is this guy going to be healthy? How are the Saints going to operate with this instead of that? We have new coaches. We have new players. How's it going to affect the team? All those questions will be answered here in the next well, I don't know if they'll be answered in the next 10 days, but they'll start to be answered. How about that? Listen, we do have a hotline call, so I want to take that, and then we'll go from there.
Hey, this is Craig Wright, the California Cajun out here at Saints Fan in Los Angeles County. Hey, I got a real question for you guys. It looks like to me on defense, the only real loss we had is Nick Fairley. We've added all these new linebackers. We've added new defensive backs, especially through the draft. And I can't see why everyone seems to think that our defense is getting worse this year. If you guys can kind of touch on why you think the defense will be better this year despite Nick Fairley, that would be great. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Chris, the California Cajun, calling us all the way from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for the phone call. That number is 701-901-1295. That'll get you on the show. This is a great example of how it works, man. You just call, leave your message, we'll put it on the show, and then we'll talk about it. Listen, Chris, it's not that, at least from my perspective, and I think I have my finger on the pulse of Saints fans because I'm on every site, on every message board, listening to the podcast. So I don't think that it's that people think that we're going to be bad. I think there was a lot of excitement. And including myself, there's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of potential. And the problem that I have with the Fairley incident is the fact that Fairley was a proven commodity. Now, you can argue whether he was a, you know, top-tier player, if he was a medium-tier player or what have you. That's arguable. I get it. You can debate that. But he was the best the Saints had. And now, we have potential. We have Rankins. We have Onyemata. Davidson, solid player, good run stuffer. I just don't know if he's a top echelon player. I really, really love Onyemata. And what I love about him is his potential. It's not that he's done anything. I love his athleticism. I love his size, his strength. And that gives you hope that he could develop into a very good player. The problem is he hasn't really done it yet. And until you've done it, it's hard for, at least for me, I mean, I'm just not that guy. I don't believe in hope and all this other nonsense. You either can play or you can't play. You've even proven that you can or you haven't. Now, every year, I remember years and years and years ago, Leroy Glover. I remember thinking to myself when I saw his name in the starting lineup on opening day. And now, keep in mind, this was long before the internet was so prevalent and that you had so much access to all this information. So I'm like, who is this guy? And by the end of the year, he was one of our best, if not our best defensive player. So it doesn't mean that guys can't develop. They can, and they will. It's just until they've done it, it's hard. I just don't understand how people can get – and I get excited. I do. I get excited about draft picks and potential. I'm talking about Onyemata right now. Having said that, there's just no reasonable way you can look at losing one of your better players and think that you're going to be better because of it. Now, let's take the more optimistic look at it. There is the potential for a lot of players, and now this is a Tomas perspective. We were 7-9 last year with a defense that had no cornerbacks, no linebackers, no pass rush, and we still went 7-9. All we have to do is just improve on that, and we'll be a better team. I mean, it's hard to argue that. And I look at it, and I can't help but say, man, that's not a bad perspective. If you can do what you did last year with the players we had on defense, there's no reason to think that bringing in some young talent at cornerback, getting P.J. Williams back, getting Bro back for a whole season healthy, you hope. There's no way that you can look at that and say it's a bad thing. Bringing in, you know, Anzalone at linebacker, bringing, you know, hopefully maybe you get some of the guys that were injured last year to play, you know, you know, it's hard with Ellerby to even say a whole season, but can you get 10 games out of him? 10 good games? And if he only plays 10, then can a young guy like Anzalone come in and play 6 games of solid football, show some improvement as a rookie, and then give us hope that next year he's going to step in and be that player? That there's just a lot of excitement. You know, Williams at safety. I mean, is he going to be better than Bird? Now, look, Bird athletically had lost a lot. He left a lot to be desired, but he was a veteran. He understood how the game worked. It wasn't too big for him. That's yet to be seen with Williams. So the answer is yes. There's a lot of talent, a lot of stuff that you can look at and be excited about. But it's just hard for me to look at losing, forget about potential, losing someone who you know what he did. And it's not about the 6.5 sacks. It's about the pressures. It's about moving guys off the spot. It's about being disruptive. It's about being a dominant run stopper. It's going up against the other team's guard or center. And I don't know if throwing them around might be excessive, but holding them up, moving out the way, making a tackle. I just don't know, with the loss of Fairley, now all of a sudden, Onyemata just doesn't really look as great. He was super exciting as a backup guy that potentially could be something. But now when you look at it, and same thing with Rankins. You know, Rankins kind of an undersized guy. Is he going to be is he Donaldson? Is he Donaldson 2.0 from the Rams? You hope so, but we don't know that yet. Statistically, you know, he had 4 sacks. I know he only played half a season, but he only had, like, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 8 more pressures in addition to that. So yeah, that's not doing very well pass rush-wise. So these are things that make me uncomfortable. So I'm speaking for a lot of people whenever I answer your question, because, you know, you said everyone felt like this, and I don't agree with that, but I'm looking at it from – why am I not just saying, psh, hey, no problem, we lost Fairley and everything's going to be great? Because the guys that we have that we're kind of counting on haven't really done it. And until they do it, it's hard to have confidence. That's just how I feel about it. Now, I'm going to speak for my good friend Tomas. He's the kind of guy that he goes in and, man, he has faith and he believes. And I just don't look at things that way. You know, I look at it and say, I hope, I'm excited. I can't wait to see these young guys on the field. But I'm one, when we lost Fairley, that I'm disappointed, because he was a proven player, and that's what I expected from him. So I tell you what, here's that number again. It's 701-901-1295, or you can email us at bsandbeer@icloud.com. Get in touch with us, man. Let us know what you think. We'll put your thoughts on the show, And we'll let you know what we think. So thank you very much for the call. Please do it again. We look forward to hearing from you. The California Cajun Craig right there, bringing up some good talking points. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Chris Landry.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast. standing up for people.
BS and beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and beer.
BS and beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
All right, back as usual, my good friend Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. He comes in, talks with us every week. Chris, how are you doing, man? Did you have a good 4th of July weekend?
I did. Played a little golf, and obviously the 4th of July usually signals, hey, the start of football season is right around the corner with 2 days in college and training camps just a couple of weeks away. So football season, as hot as it is around the country, is fast coming upon us.
Well, when you get out of the holidays, the 4th of July holiday, it seems like that's the time where you just hope that none of the players get in any trouble. You don't have to worry about them. And so far, Saints-wise, it doesn't look like there's been anybody who's gotten himself in trouble. So we got to feel like a little sense of relief for that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that we always used to say, when you get a phone call this time of year, it's never good news. It's somebody saying, hey, I got good news for you. It's always something bad.
All right, so one of the things that I think is going to be a question we're going to have all the way through training camp, and I want to get some more of your thoughts on the offensive line. Now, last year, Pete played the left side when Armstead went down. Now, we have a first-round draft pick in the rookie Ramczyk, and I'm wondering, is it better that if we would leave Pete at left guard and start grooming Ramczyk, or do you feel like maybe the better option would be to move Pete to left tackle and roll from there and see how things evolve? So what are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, that's going to be determined by the play of Ramczyk. And if Ramczyk is proven capable of handling it, that's fine. But, you know, these decisions are not made in a vacuum and they're not made on paper. It's about what can he handle. And it's a difficult position to learn. Playing left tackle is very difficult. You're out on an island, so to speak, and there's some limitations that every young tackle will have. But what it really comes down to is you want to make sure that you're strongest at both positions. In essence, if Pete is better early at left tackle, that's who they'll play at left tackle, because that is such a difficult position to compensate. If you have any less performance, you just can't have it at left tackle. You can get away with it a little bit at guard, but not at tackle. So it really depends. If Ramczyk can play to the equal of Pete early, then he'll get that job, and that makes you stronger at both positions. But it'll really be up to how quickly Ramczyk transitions.
Now, I know this is a hypothetical, but last week on our show, we had a conversation. Heath and I started bantering about that. Let's say, hypothetically, if Ramczyk comes in and plays on a scale from 1 to 10, plays like an 8, and this is what we consider Armstead as a 10. Now, that might be arguable, but I personally think that he's a top 5 left tackle in the league. Would that be fair before we go further with this and this this conversation?
Not top 5, but he certainly graded in the high reds, and the blues would certainly put him in that next tier. He's been very good, and certainly by far the best left tackle that the Saints have had available until his injury, obviously.
Okay, so then that makes the debate a little bit more sense now. So the debate was if Ramczyk comes in and plays really solid football and stays healthy, when Armstead comes back, what do you do with Armstead? Is it just a no-brainer that Armstead goes in, or would you consider going with a guy who might be slightly less talented or less experienced but is healthy and stays in the lineup? Is that a consideration?
No, Armstead's the left tackle. Armstead has the better feet. Ramczyk is eventually, if all else is equal and you could have everybody healthy, Armstead would be your left tackle and Ramczyk would be your future right tackle. Ramchek's a guy that is best spot would be right tackle, but he can play left tackle. So his versatility helps you. And, you know, to some degree, when they drafted Pete, there was a little bit of a feel he's a right tackle guard guy. Ramczyk can be a right tackle and, in a pinch, left tackle guy. So if Armstead's healthy, there's not a better left tackle for the Saints on their roster than he. So Ramczyk would be, in the experience playing on the left side, if he gets a lot of reps there, and at guard in particular, if Ramczyk played inside some, which always is a good thing to try to do, it really helps to learn all the positions. It helps you play your position better. I think ideally he's a right tackle. It gives them flexibility, though. So if Armstead moves on down the road, they've got a guy that can put in at left tackle. So you see, that's how personnel works, is he has some versatility. His versatility, though, is right and left tackle, whereas Pete is right tackle, left guard, and in a pinch, you know, left tackle.
Gotcha. Okay, so earlier we got a call from Craig in L.A., one of our hotline calls, and his question was, now that the only loss that he perceives the Saints really had was the Nick Fairley loss. He said that we added new linebackers, defensive backs, especially through the draft, and he can't see why everyone thinks that that the defense is getting worse. My response to him was, it's not so much that I see that we've gotten worse, so much as Nick Fairley is a proven commodity. The guys that we've picked up, whether they be through the draft as rookies or just guys who are just not a lot of experience or maybe haven't necessarily done it yet. So it's not that I don't think they can be good. It's just one gives me a lot more a feeling of security than the other guys. Let me get your thoughts on that.
Well, you want to have four quality defensive tackles. And right now, they've got a guy in Rankins can be that, and they really don't have much after that. Davidson and Onimata are guys that can be backup guys, but they just are not deep enough or good enough at defensive tackle. Frankly, they weren't deep enough with a healthy Fairley. Without him, it brings them back even another notch. That's the staple of your defense. Linebackers are linebackers. Edge rushers, we're not talking about that. For the caller, we're talking about completely different positions. And it's sometimes hard for fans to understand. They just hear names and hear things and hear. They don't understand that the defensive line is where the Saints have not been strong, are not strong, and quite frankly are pretty weak overall. When you put their defensive line roster in the league, they're one of the weakest, particularly at tackle with the loss of Fairley. So, listen, they're going to have Onimata and Davidson play very, very well. Rankins is going to have to play very, very well. And if those guys play extremely well and they get a surprise and you've got four guys that can go into rotation and give them quality play, that is when the loss defensively will be proven to not be as bad. But the linebacker play is not going to overcome poor defensive tackle play.
You know, Chris, thank you so much. You know, I know I probably ripped you off of the pool or somewhere in the middle of July here. You trying to get your tan going on and whatnot. I want to thank you, and I appreciate you coming on the show this week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Hey, look forward to it. Really appreciate it.
All right, well, that's Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. I mean, listen, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes on this guy. I'm telling you, I call him up and I ask him, I say, Chris, I'm going to talk to you about this. I'm going to ask you about that. And no notes, no research, man. He doesn't give me a minute so I can refresh my memory. I mean, he just knows it. And okay, so you would kind of almost expect that from a Saints podcast, right? But as a lot of you guys who follow the show know, I've recently started a UK podcast, and now that show has found some incredible success. We've already been on, we've done it for about 6 weeks, and we've already been on ESPN 1300 here locally two times, and one time we did a show for them and we didn't make it to air. It was a podcast. It didn't make it to air because of some technical difficulties. And the thing is, I call him up and I start asking him about UK stuff, And again, no notes, no let me go check and refresh my memory. He just knows his stuff. I'm so impressed with him when I talk to him. It's really uncanny that how much information this man has, and it's all in his head. So anyway, but that's about all we have for the show today, man. This is going to be the tough time. I don't think anybody's surprised by this. There's just not that much going on. And God forbid, if there is some news, it's probably not going to be good, because it's just not the time of year where people are reporting good things about players right now. So we just need to keep our fingers crossed that these guys stay out of trouble, and we get them all ready for training camp, and there's no more injuries, especially before training camp even starts. But we're only a little over a week away from the rookies reporting, and then, man, there's going to be news to talk about. There's going to be I'm excited. I hope you are too. Anyway, thank you as usual for listening. And guys, listen, we don't ask for money. We don't ask for really, we don't ask for anything. We just appreciate that you guys follow us and listen to us. So if you could, there is a favor. Man, give us a call on the hotline. Shoot us an email. Go to these, you know, give us a like. Give us a thumbs up. Tell your friends. The more people that listen to us, it just makes it worth doing. So if you enjoy the show, and I would have to imagine you do, or you wouldn't even be listening to what I'm saying right now, man, you know, let us know you appreciate us by giving us a like, or telling your friends, or sharing it with somebody. So anyway, for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, who couldn't make it, I'm Dave Romero, and this is the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.